Well, praise God, hallelujah. You know, as I was praying, I heard my spirit. You know, you can't have revelation of the Word if you don't get in the Word, and so if you don't get in the Word, you can't hear. You can't really know what God is truly doing. You know, we can only know what God's going to do if we know the Word, if we have a foundation in the Word. Amen. Because God leads according to His Word. He leads by His Spirit according to His Word. And so we can't have revelation. We can't have a deeper knowledge of God without getting into His Word. And so, you know, I remember a time in my life where I struggled getting into the Word, where, you know, maybe I'd read it once a week, or maybe all I read it was at church, you know, when the pastor would read it. But it's so important for us to get it into us. Amen. So important for us to get that revelation. And the Lord really will speak to you. He'll show you things to come. He'll show you things. Now, not everything He's going to show you is written in the Word, in the sense that, you know, because He's going to show you things that pertain to your life. But he'll reveal things, and the truths will match up with the truths of the Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it might not always be a verbatim word for word. Sometimes it is, but it may not always be a verbatim word for word description of what is in the Scripture. But it will line with Scripture. Amen. Praise God. And that's how we keep balanced. Amen. You know, I was in some scriptures today, even you know, reading about it was in 1 Thessalonians 5, and I was reading about you know how it talks about how we need to we need to hold what's good. We need to test all things, but hold to what's good. And that means, you know, that, and then just that one little scripture, it tells us that all things, you know, we are to test all things, but not necessarily all things are good. And so we do that, and that's what we should do. We should live our lives. And we really do test all things as we live our lives. A lot of people don't realize that, but you test things all the time. If you go to a restaurant and you try a new meal, it's something you haven't had before, you determine whether or not that's something that you want to continue having again. You know what I mean? And so is that way with all things. And that's really what Scripture is talking about, but it means from a godly perspective. Amen? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that you came here tonight. God's got great things for us. This message tonight, I'm excited about it. Amen. The Lord brought it to me very amazing, but really clearly, and I'm just excited to get into it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight's message is called "You Are What You Wear." Hallelujah. You are what you wear. And we're not talking about clothes. We're not talking about, you know, we're not going to, you know, pick on you because you're not wearing the right clothes. Amen. Or something like that. It's not talking about what kind of underwear you wear. That's not what we're getting into here. We're talking about what we wear spiritually, amen. And what we wear spiritually really is, it really makes up who we are. It's really the determining factor in where we go and what we do. And, you know, we want to get all that God has for us, amen. We want to be people that walk out all God has for us. And we're only going to do that by picking the right clothing, amen, by putting on the right stuff, praise the Lord. And you know, as I was preparing this, hallelujah, I thought back to my Boy Scout days. You remember back when Boy Scouts were still for boys, praise God, hallelujah. But I thought back to my Boy Scout days, and you know, our motto was be prepared, hallelujah. Be prepared, and that's just a good thing. That's a good motto for life, be prepared. You know, that's one of the things they did back then is they took a bunch of city kids and they brought them out into the woods and they taught them how to be prepared for all kinds of things. They taught us how to be prepared for one-eyed wildebeests, and they taught us how to be prepared for the cheese moose and all these other things. You don't know about that, but praise the Lord, let the ignorant be ignorant still. Amen. But they taught us how to be prepared, how to start fires. I remember one time I went to the camp up here, Camp Mers, and there was a big, some kind of scout jamboree up there, and one of the kids that was teaching, one of the younger people that was teaching how to properly handle a hatchet ended up putting it in his shin. Hallelujah. It had to be taken off site. Glory to God. But it's important to be prepared. Amen. When we live in an area where we know that there are certain times of the year you have to be prepared. You have to go out prepared. It matters what you wear. Amen. If it's something wrong, talk in my pockets. Praise the Lord. I'm always concerned it's my zipper, but I should just go right to my pockets. Hallelujah. You know, praise God. I checked that about 1,000 times before I get here. My zipper I'm talking about, not my pockets. I don't care about that. But there's still times when I've forgotten it. I don't know how, but praise the Lord. But anyways, we're talking about being prepared. And, you know, when there's certain times of year when you want to go out, you want to wear the right clothing. Amen. You want to be prepared for that. You know, one of the things I like doing it since I have a truck is I like putting stuff in it that helps me be prepared. One time I put a rope in there and I got to pull somebody out of a ditch. Just excited me because I was prepared. Amen. Well, the same thing is with God. We want to be prepared, and it matters what we put on. It matters the clothing we wear. It matters not this clothing, but the spiritual clothing we wear. It matters how we prepare ourselves to go out into the world. You know, we can be prepared for everything that comes against us in life, every obstacle. You can't avoid every obstacle, and you won't avoid every obstacle. But the greatest thing is if you know God, you can be prepared for every obstacle. And if you're prepared for every obstacle, then when it comes, it's not going to bother you. It's not going to be a thing. You know what I mean? If a runner is running around a track and they got hurdles, they know when one's coming and they time it out and jump over it, hopefully at the right time. Amen? They prepare themselves for that, and that's what training is for. And so just like that, us Christians, we need to prepare ourselves. We should not be taken unaware by things. Amen? We should not be taken, caught by surprise by anything, because God has given us the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit, His purpose is to keep us prepared. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Let's start in Romans 8:5. I'm just going to warn you ahead of time tonight, I've got a lot of scripture. Glory to God. And we're going to do some flip-flopping back and forth. And so, Jennifer, just be prepared. Hallelujah. We're gonna hop back and forth some areas, but I was just preparing her. Amen. Jennifer, be prepared. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just love people that serve in the local church. Amen. Isn't it a blessing? You know, it's so awesome, people that serve in the local church, because we can sit here and just enjoy the service. And we didn't even have, you know, some of us, and a lot of us are serve at some point. So we prepared that. But it's nice to be able to sit in the service, a nice clean room, warm with lights and all that stuff. Amen. I have the scriptures up here. Praise the Lord. Although we should bring our Bibles. Glory to God. Not looking at anybody. I'll look at you later. No, I'm just kidding. Romans 8:5. Praise the Lord. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Hallelujah. You know, we are not, these scriptures are not uncommon to us. It's not, you know, I didn't put these on here because we never heard them before. But, you know, it's important. It's amazing to me how often they apply. Amen. And in this message specifically, they apply a lot. You know, we've been talking. I told you several weeks ago that we were going to preach a lot about the Holy Ghost. I knew that coming up. And this is by no means different, amen, because these are operations of the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord. But that's getting us to live a spiritually minded life. You know, there's a lot of things that we can deal with in the natural. There's a lot of things that can distract us from things that really matter. Just daily goings on, you know. You know, you might get stressed in a moment by something like traffic, praise the Lord. But, you know, the thing is, the traffic is that moment in time is a fleeting moment in time. And if you allow yourself to be distracted by all these things, like really distracted by them, what we end up doing is end up living in this place of just flesh, carnal minded, and we never ever get to into the spiritual. Amen. You know, even as I'm driving, I do a lot of praying when I'm driving. Actually, I probably do a good portion of my praying while I'm driving. Amen. It's a good thing to know. If you do a good portion of your praying while you're driving, it's a good thing to know is you don't have to close your eyes when you pray. Amen. When I was raised up, you know, early in church, I thought you had to close your eyes and bow your head to pray. But thank God we don't have to do that, especially for anybody who's anywhere near me while I'm driving. Amen. Praise God. But we want to be spiritually minded people. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Notice this. Peace is, I mean, I can't hit this enough, but peace is one of the greatest things that most people are seeking, whether they know it or not. Everything that you can seek out in life, it really revolves around peace. You know, living in that place where you're satisfied, living in that place where you're happy, where there's calm, there's smooth sailing, praise the Lord, calm seas, green pastures, amen, that's what we all, still waters, that's what we all want, right? Peace. Well, look at this. To be spiritually minded is life and peace, amen? This is what true life, this is the life God has meant us to live in, this is what it means. Now, to be spiritually minded does not mean to be a goofball. It doesn't mean to be flaky. It doesn't mean to be fruity. It doesn't mean to be nutty. It doesn't mean you gotta have special Pentecostal services. Praise the Lord, we love those. You know, where we have Holy Ghost services, we're rolling on the floor and laughing and running around and jumping up and down and prophesying and all these things, and those are great services. But that's not what life is about. That's not where we are to live. Amen. We are to live in this place of being spiritually minded. And really what that is being in tune with what God is doing, what He wants to do, praise the Lord, and who He is. Amen. Getting to know Him more. This life should be about getting to know God more. We need to take that time out of our days, out of our months, weeks, months, years. We need to learn. Because if we don't, we just saying tonight, we're like, my wife said, what's the date tonight? And Caleb said what the date was, and there's another month gone. Another month is gone. I mean, before you even know it, right? You blink and it's gone. We're almost at the end. We're really heading towards the end of 2018. Where did that go? Seemed like it just started. Amen. You know, but that's the thing. And if we don't stop and think about this stuff, we get caught up and we'll be distracted to the point where we don't see what's really important. We'll live all right, but it won't be the life that God intended us, and it won't be in peace. You know what peace is? Peace is, you know, we see the example of peace when Jesus was in the boat and the waves were overtaking the boat and they're bailing out the boat and they're freaking out. All the disciples are freaking out and Jesus is in the back of the boat sleeping. And they wake him up and they say, Master, don't you care that we perish? And he's back there sleeping. Yeah. That's peace. Yeah. Amen. It means when the storm is raging in life, no matter what's happening, you can rest your head. You can lay down and sleep because God gives us peace. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? That's what being spiritually minded is. That's why we go there. Amen? Okay, so you're there in Romans. So go down to chapter 13, verse 11. Chapter 13, verse 11. I just love the book of Romans. I love the whole Bible, but man, the book of Romans. Praise the Lord. This section of my scripture is called Put on Christ. I like that. Put on Christ. Amen. And this is really where the foundation of the message, actually what the Lord led me to do was just look up in my concordance, look up the two words put on together and all the scriptures that talk about it. And you see it actually several times in scripture, the put on Christ, put on the Lord. You know what I mean? And we're going to see that in other places. Praise the Lord. And do this knowing that the time... And when it says, and do this, it's referring, it was just talking about love, loving your neighbor, and so on and so forth, and how it's the greatest commandment. Praise the Lord. And it goes, and do this, knowing that the time that now is, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Praise God. So it's urging us that, the time is, we need to get this right now. It's time that we get hooked up to what's going on because stuff's going to happen. Amen? Praise the Lord. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I like that. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Amen. Now, when it says make no provision for the flesh, doesn't mean you can't enjoy life. That's not what it's talking about at all. After all, God gave us the ability to enjoy life. Amen. But He did not give it to us with the intent that we would use it for excess. Amen. Excess and bad things. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. But let's go back up there to verse 12. It says, therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Now, I like this word because, when you hear the word cast, you know, I think, of course, of fishing. You would probably think of fishing. But with casting, you know, you throw something way out. You're getting it way away from you. Generally, when you cast a line, you're trying to get it out as far away from you as you can. You're getting it out there. Amen. You know, the Bible is very clear about casting off these works, the works of darkness. It is so imperative that we learn to do that. You know, these are the things, and it shares with us some of the things there in a minute. But, you know, like things like drunkenness, revelry. Revelry, really what revelry is it's like kind of like nighttime partying out in the streets, like running around, you know, you hear people hooting and hollering, and so that's what revelry is. Of course, that's not of God. That's not, so, you know, they try, there's some, man, there's some faiths that have these parties, that have these drunken parties, and the Bible warns against that. Yeah. Tells you to cast it off. It doesn't mean experience it, amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. But I like this also, I like also that in verse 14 it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. What does it mean to put on God? It means to put on who God is. It means, actually, if you look up the word put on in the Greek, it gives you the idea of like clothing, that you wear it, that you wrap it around you, you know? And thinking about being prepared. You know, when you go out into different kinds of weather, a lot of times we'll check the forecast, right? Most mornings when I wake up, one of the first things I do is check the forecast, because then that lets me know how I'm going to dress. Amen? Well, see, the same thing, we should do that with the Lord. We should check the forecast. We should be checking God's forecast all the time with the Spirit, tuning into the Spirit and saying, Lord, what's coming up? So we know what to put on and how much of it to put on. Amen? Now, we should be wearing Christ all the time. And so wearing Christ all the time, we're going to have a level of just being prepared for things. Amen? But you know, there's so much of this anti-this in the church today, because there's a lot of churches where the people have just kind of gotten to the place where we just kind of do the things we want to do. We just do us, you know, we just do you. We just do the things that we want to do. We, you know, you experience things, and they don't spend much time thinking about putting on Christ. You know, putting on who Christ truly was. You know, Jesus came to live as an example to us, not to live and show us what we couldn't attain. You know, and that's so important, because people aren't looking like Jesus. You know, they try to use Jesus spending time with tax collectors and the heathen and murderers and different kinds of people that weren't all that great. They try to use that as an example for their revelries and their lewdness. They do. People do that. When we were in Jamestown, they would have the local churches would have pub crawls, where they would go from bar to bar drinking. The church sponsored. I'm just telling you the truth. That ain't God. I'm telling you right now. In those places, they don't have the Spirit. Those people aren't living in peace. Those people are living according to the flesh, and because of that, they're gonna reap destruction. Amen. We can't live. We can't be people that do that. We can't be people that compromise those things. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I love back there again in verse 12 that it tells us, "Let us put on the armor of light." Now, when I was reading this, that really stuck out to me, the armor of light. See, there's another place in Scripture that we're taught to do this, and we're going to get into that here today. But put on the armor of light. This is the clothing that we're supposed to wear. The armor, you know, of course, in Scripture, light always is a reflection of God. It always teaches us about God or points us towards God. We know God is light. The Bible tells us that. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. Praise the Lord. So when we put on the armor of light, we're putting on the armor of God. Amen. And where do we find out about the armor of God? I think we should all know this, but it's in Ephesians 6. Praise the Lord. So let's go ahead and go there. Ephesians 6:12. Well, we're going to start in verse 10. Praise the Lord. God is good. I know it's a little different flow tonight, but it's important. What we're getting here tonight is it will help us every day of our lives. You could take a message like this and the stuff that's in this, and you could feed on this every day of your life, and it would help you with every situation. Because this tells us how to live. Right here, this is how we're supposed to live. Amen? Praise the Lord. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." Hallelujah. You know, it doesn't tell us to be strong in ourselves, and I'm so thankful it doesn't. You know, there's so many times where I come up to, where I just can't make the mark. There's so many times where I just can't do it. There's so many times where I'm just not good enough. There's so many times where I didn't pray enough. There's so many times where I didn't read the word enough. There's so many times the Bible didn't tell me to be strong with myself. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Praise the Lord. Now, my wife preached a message, I know, last week about being baptized in the Holy Ghost. You know, Jesus told us in Acts 1:8, did you even go that? Did you go in those scriptures? Yeah, and Jesus told us to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of God. And so without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you cannot have the full power of God. And so if you have not been baptized in the Spirit, you will just never, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you will never have the full power of God. That means that there will be things that come at you that could take you out. Yeah. It doesn't mean you can't be saved. There are plenty of people that have gone, they have lived, died, and gone to heaven that have not been filled with the Holy Spirit. But those are generally the people that you hear of, or that you hear somebody saying, I just don't understand what happened. They served God. They were such a good person. But they didn't have the power of God. The power of God is imperative to living on this earth. If it wasn't, Jesus wouldn't have told us it was. Jesus left us with that power. So without that power, we are prone to being defeated. It's like being unprepared. It's like going out in the wintertime with bald tires, praise the Lord. It's like going out in the summertime with no sunscreen, you know what I mean? It's like going out in a boat without a propeller, praise the Lord. Or not enough gas in the tank, we know what that's like, hallelujah. You know, it's different when you're on the water and you don't have gas in the tank, amen. Because you can't just like walk to the gas station. Unless you're Jesus, then you could, but we haven't attained that level yet, praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we want to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We want the power of God. This is why so many people, they struggle with, maybe they struggle with addictions of some sort. And again, when I say things like addictions, I'm not just talking about drugs. There's lots of things we can be addicted to, amen? But when they struggle with addictions, and it's because they haven't prayed, the reason that they struggle is they don't have the power working in their life, amen? Because even though, you know, you can lay hands on somebody and the power can enter somebody and it can help them, but it's not going to continue unless they pick it up and run with it, amen? Glory to God, hallelujah. It'd be kind of like, you know, running a heater once. Like, you know, if you ran the heater one Sunday in the middle of winter, if you ran your heater on Sunday only or came to church where it was warm, then you came home, why isn't it warm at home? Well, you didn't run the heater there too. You know what I mean? We got to keep the power flowing if we want what comes out of that, amen? But look at here, verse 11, what does it say? It says, put on the whole armor of God, praise the Lord. So we just saw it back there in Romans, it told us to put on the armor of light. We also know that the scripture says that God is light, and here we see it again. Put on the whole armor of God. By the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a thing be established. Praise the Lord. So here's another witness. Put on the whole armor of God. Don't put on some of the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Not some of it, all of it. And we're going to look at the armor of God and what it is tonight. Amen. That's the kind of the building block of this message is the armor of God. What is the armor of God? What is all of it? And what happens if we don't put on it all? Praise the Lord. Look what it says here, though. It says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole. You do good to underline that word in your Bible. Put on the whole armor of God. That you would be good, do good to underline that word. That. That means that you put it on so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That means without the whole armor of God, you won't be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because if you were attacking somebody, the first thing, you take a boxer, for example. What boxers do months and months leading up to the big fight is they spend a lot of time watching videos of other boxers. I know football teams do this too. What are they looking for? They're looking for the weaknesses. Praise the Lord. They're looking for the chinks in the armor. Hallelujah. They're looking for the place that wasn't covered. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. We've got to put on the whole armor. Otherwise, we're not going to be covered. Because the devil, the Bible says, the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Meaning he can't devour everybody, but he's looking for whom he may devour. And this is exactly what he's looking for here. See, the devil knows Ephesians 6, was it 6:11? The devil knows Ephesians 6:11. It's been written for thousands of years. He probably knows this Bible more than most Christians. Yeah. That's a sad truth. But he does. He's looking for the chink in the armor. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now look at what it says here. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, praise the Lord, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. These are the things that we wrestle against. You know, we look at the scripture often, and a lot of times we focus, we're fighting against spirits. But I want to focus right now at the beginning of this. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is not our problem. The fact that you have flesh and blood is not your problem. Now, I know a lot of people will tell us this. They'll say, you know, and I even shared that on Sunday when I was talking to Reverend Greer, and he said, let's just face it, the problem is you in this certain situation. Yes, the problem arises through the flesh and blood, but the problem is not the flesh and blood. God gave us, he designed our flesh and blood. Amen? Praise the Lord. He designed it for us to experience the natural. Amen? I heard recently someone asked, how can the spiritual affect the natural? It is because the spiritual influences the natural, and if you do not know how to divide the natural from the spiritual, you'll be deceived. This is where people always fail. If it's people failing, this is where they fail. They don't know how to divide the spiritual from the natural. They think that what happens in the natural is the spiritual, and they think this must be God talking to them. We hear this all the time. We hear this all the time from Christians who live by signs. You know what I mean? Oh, I think this was a sign from God, and that was a sign from God. Listen, God isn't sending you natural things to give you a sign. He gave us his Son, he gave us the Word, and he gave us his Holy Spirit. We don't need to. The Bible says that an evil and perverse generation seeks after a sign. No matter how many times I preach this, without fail, I will have somebody who has heard this message probably come up to me in the next year and start talking about, I just think God was trying to show me something by this or that thing. You know what I mean? God isn't moving by signs. God doesn't move by beautiful sunsets. Praise the Lord for beautiful sunsets. I know they make us feel good. But see, that's just a perfect example of what I'm talking about. You know, I got an example last year. Somebody sent me a picture of a sunset, I think it was, and the way that came out looked like a cross. It was beautiful. It was cool. I'm not saying that there was anything wrong with it. I'm glad that it made them think of God. That's wonderful. I'm not refuting that at all. But that wasn't God talking to anybody. Why? Because it's a natural phenomenon. God speaks to us through all of nature. Amen. Yeah, the Bible tells us that. So in essence, yes, it's God showing us something. But God designed, he's not specifically, it wasn't a specific message. See, the problem with this is some people will take that kind of stuff and they'll run with it. They'll make that their religion. And they'll start believing in superstition. Because that's really what that ends up being. They start believing in superstition, and then they get away from the Word of God, and guess what? They've just taken off the armor of God because they want to believe in signs. See, God doesn't work in signs. Sometimes God will work through situations. Don't get me wrong. God will always work through situations. God is always looking. You know, the Bible says that to those who love the Lord, he works all things for the good. In other words, God will take any situation in your life that happens. It doesn't mean he causes it. But he'll take any situation that happens, and he will help you. He will work something out of it for you. So if the devil, the Bible tells us what the devil meant for bad, God will make it good in people who love him and people who follow him. You know what I mean? So what God is doing is God will take a situation and he'll work it out for the better. Amen. But that doesn't mean that God is causing or setting everything up to just happen that way. See, God works just in a natural world, just like we do. Amen? The spiritual affects the natural. And so the devil knows this. And what the devil is doing is he works in the realm generally of thoughts and of lying signs and wonders. And he does things, he'll do things that will get people distracted. See, listen, it's not bad. Like I was talking about that sunset. It's not a bad thing. I'm not saying anything bad about those people or the sunset or any of that stuff. Again, I'm glad that it made him think of the Lord. I use things like that all the time that make me think of the Lord. It's great because I get to think of the Lord. And anything that reminds me to think of God, praise the Lord for it. And anything that makes you think of the Lord, praise the Lord for it. Show people and get excited about it. Share those things. I'm not saying it's bad stuff. But what I'm saying is we can't make it our religion. We can't make it our faith, the things that we hold on to. You know what I mean? People see an angel in the clouds and all of a sudden, oh, God's doing this. No. That's not the way it works. That's not the way that works. You don't see that in Scripture? Praise the Lord. And we don't see that we never see that in Jesus' life. It was by actually doing something. Amen. One of the greatest signs and wonders is a life that's completely transformed and changed in following God. That's one of the greatest signs and wonders. Amen. A great sign and wonder is not, you know, you come down the street and, you know, a blue bird landed next to a red bird. And, you know, just at that time, a blue and red car passed you. And then all of a sudden, see, people build on this stuff and they just make it. They try to put God on all this stuff, and it's not God at all. That stuff becomes their God, because then they're deceived by stuff. Those same Christians are the ones that will go to Lilydale and go to psychics and stuff like that. That stuff's of the devil. I'm just telling you, it's full of the devil. And if you dabble in any of that and you have issues in your life, you can probably connect them right there. Because that opens a door. When you open the door to the devil, he comes rushing in like a river. And I'm just telling you, he'll fill you as quick as he can. And if you don't have the Spirit on the inside, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, the Bible says to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not full of the Holy Spirit from praying, guess what? You're going to be overtook. That's what it is. See, all this stuff, like, people resist this stuff, but all this stuff God gave us to help us, yet people still resist it. The Bible says it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So God gave us, the problem is not the flesh, because God gave us the flesh to be able to enjoy. Do you know all the things you enjoy them because God gave you the ability to enjoy them? Yeah. You know what I mean? When you eat something and it makes your belly feel good? Yeah. When it makes your tongue feel nice? Yeah. God gave you all that. He said, yes, I'm going to bless you with this. See, this is how much God loved us. Yeah. Praise the Lord. When you hug somebody and it feels good, if you like hugging people, I do. So when you like hugging, when you hug somebody and it feels good, guess what? God gave you that ability to make it feel good. Yeah. But we can always take things and we can go too far with them. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Sometimes I take food. Well, too often. I take food a little too far. I've got to be careful. I got to watch that. I got to backtrack. You know, I got to put those things in submission, because if I don't, those things will overcome me. Those things will overtake me. The devil will use that as opportunity in my flesh to destroy me. And that's exactly what he's trying to do. You know, people like experiencing a lot of different things, and we can use a lot of examples, but you know, I think you get the point of what we're talking about. Amen. God gave us the natural to experience and to enjoy. So God is not against the natural. But we are not to be led and consumed by the natural. Praise the Lord. Those who seek the things of the flesh, and what this means is they're just looking after, all they look for is the flesh. They look for the flesh to tell them, it gave me a good feeling, therefore it must be God. They're looking for the flesh to tell them. This made me happy, therefore it must be God. They're looking for the flesh to tell them. Emotions are something experienced in the flesh. Emotions aren't bad. Again, emotions are good. See, I got to keep saying this stuff because somebody at some point will think that I'm saying, well, Pastor Jeff just said emotions are bad. No, emotions are good. Yeah. Amen? But we are not to be led by emotions. Christians, by and large, are led by their emotions. You get the ones in the super religious camp that don't want anything to do with the Spirit. They're just religion. They're led by their emotions. Yeah. Led by what they were taught, what they feel, you know, what they know. It just doesn't feel right, whatever. And then you have the uber spiritual over in the other camp, praise the Lord, that aren't balanced out with the Word. The Christians that are doing all kinds of goofy things in the name of the Lord that isn't God at all. You know, Christians that are doing all kinds of, you know, flag waving and dancing. I'm not saying dancing in the Spirit is not wrong, but God never instructed us to have choreographed dance teams. Yeah. That isn't of God. Amen. You'll never find that anywhere in Scripture. Praise the Lord. You know, we were talking about the example of that new thing that a lot of Christians are running after right now. It's the Bible that's producing oil. Praise God, the Bible that's producing oil. But you don't see that in Scripture. You know, the Holy Spirit is a representation of oil in our lives. The Holy Spirit in Jesus is all you need to be healed. It's all you need to be healed. But what does this do? It distracts people from God and puts their eyes on a Bible filled with oil. So what's everybody doing? Running after the Bible filled with oil. They aren't living any different. They aren't trying to come up higher. They aren't living any more spiritual. They're seeking after the Bible filled with oil. I don't know if you've heard about it or not. You can find it on YouTube if not. But there is a Bible right now that's supposedly producing oil. And what they're doing is they're handing out vials of oil. People are following it. It's a new religion. It's not really a new religion, but you know what I mean? It is. Because this is what people, they want things that tickle their flesh. This is why, you know, you get a lot of Catholics, praise the Lord for Catholics, but they follow, you know, they will worship statues because they started bleeding, stigmatas, or they'll worship men and women that will start having blood coming out of their hands. That's the stigmata, amen? Or out of their eyes, or the statues, or weeping oil and stuff. This stuff happens all the time. It's lying signs and wonders. It's of the devil, and what it does is it gets people to stop focusing on God and start focusing on things. The true move of God will always focus on God. Now, God will use men and women to do it, but it always focuses on God. It always redirects our focus to Him. Praise the Lord. If you're shouting praise the Lord afterwards, you know what I mean? That's what God is. That's what God is after. Amen. Praise God. So people get deceived all the time because they don't stick to the truth. They don't stick to the Word. They don't stick what the Word says. They don't put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we know Hebrews 4:12. Just go ahead and pull it up here. Now, just so you know, back there in the sound booth, we're going to stay in Ephesians. We're going to go back and forth, but I'm going to add scriptures in between. So just be ready for that. Amen. We'll go back to the Ephesians because we're going to read about the whole armor of God. But Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful." It's what? Living and powerful. Praise the Lord. It's living and powerful. The word of God. Every word of God. It's living and powerful. Doesn't need to produce oil to be living and powerful. It doesn't need to have gold dust coming out of it to make it living and powerful. You know, that's a whole other thing. There was gold, they called it the gold dust phenomenon, where gold dust was appearing and stuff. Lying signs and wonders. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm just telling you, so you'll see stuff like this, and it's the devil trying to distract people from the truth. Because those people, it's the same thing with revivals. You know that about, we got to be careful about revivals. People just saying they're having revivals. Because if the revival ends up in the trash heap and all the people who are running the revival end up serving the devil or, you know, they're crashing and burning, got to question whether God was ever in it to begin with. If lives aren't really truly changed, I don't mean just somebody. Now listen, there's people that get helped in them, and I'm not saying that they're all together. But we need to be careful about what we accept, because if it's not of God, then it will. If it's of God, it will continue to produce. Continue, because God is a God of, does anyone remember from Sunday? The harvest. He wants the harvest, praise the Lord. God is a God of a harvest, continual harvest and fruit, amen? For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Look at this. Piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit. The soul is the mind, the will, the intellect of man, the feelings. That's what the soul is. So a lot of people get these two words messed up, but when they are two different words, amen? The soul is not the spirit. When you die, your soul doesn't go to heaven. Your spirit goes to heaven, amen? That's what goes on and lives forever, amen? Now, your soul, obviously, your soul is part of, like, in the sense that, like, you'll remember who you are and stuff like that, you know. But that's not the thing that we focus on. So the division of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Glory to God. This is what the Word of God does. What it does, basically, is it tells us what is the soul, what is the mind, and it tells us what is the spirit. That's why we always tell people, you stay with the Word. Because you won't be able, without the Word of God, you will not be able to discern which is soul and spirit. You will never know which is your mind and which is your spirit. You will think that this is of God, but you won't know because you haven't been based in the Word. This is why we also say that the Spirit always leads according to the Word. Because He brings you back to that place where you can divide, is this God or isn't it? Remember, the Bible tells us to test the spirits. It would not tell us to test the spirits if we could not get deceived by the spirits. There is a spirit of God, and then there's spirit of the devil. There is demons that are around there and stuff like that. So we understand that there are opposite, you know, any kind of fear and stuff like it's spirit. There's a religious spirit, amen? There's the truth. There's a religious spirit. Often the religious spirit is the one that's trying to get people all to go to hell. You know what I mean? They'll just run people like the Baptist church down there or wherever. I haven't heard much of them lately, but they're protesting like military funerals and stuff like this. That's not of God. That's not of God. It's evil. It's of the devil. I'm not saying there's nobody saved there or there's nobody that loves God there, but I'm saying they're deceived. They're deceived by a religious spirit. Amen. Religious spirits do all kinds of havoc. They're all kinds of havoc. Religious spirits are what people have people doing works, just works, instead of actually following God. Amen? Soup kitchens, stuff like that. Nothing wrong with soup kitchens. But what did Jesus do when he fed people? He taught them the word. You go to soup kitchens today, they don't teach you the word. Why? Because it's not politically correct to teach people the word. But see, Jesus wouldn't do anything for people unless he taught them the word. Why? Because he knew that without the word, they would fail. Christians, people, it doesn't matter how good you are, you will fail without the word of God. And the Spirit can't lead you if you don't have the word. Amen? You see how we go back and forth, but I hope this is getting in you to understand some things. Amen? Praise the Lord. So verse 13. So we see that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That means that everything is spiritual. I want to go back to that. Everything is spiritual in nature. Everything that we deal with here on earth, it first starts in the spiritual. And so we can understand this, that sometimes the issue that you're facing, a lot of times the issue you're facing isn't a bad person even. It's a bad spirit. Yeah. This is why I can have compassion on people who do horrendous things. I'm telling you the truth. I can have compassion on people. Listen, I can have, when I say I can have compassion, that does not mean I ever justify things that people do. It doesn't mean that I agree with what people do. But you can have compassion on it. Be careful when you start judging somebody. Because I'll tell you what, there's an area that you fail at. And the Bible tells us that when we start judging people, now listen, we are to judge things, you understand. But I'm talking about when you just want to trash talk somebody. You know, you just want to run somebody down. You know what I mean? You see this actually in Hollywood big time right now, because Hollywood's gotten so political. So they're trash talking everything. It's biting them in the butt, isn't it? Because it's coming back. Now, all these people, everybody who's done anything bad in their past, they're dragging it out to the future, even whether they did it or not, doesn't matter. But they're dragging it out, and they're trying to ruin people. That's an evil spirit that's doing that kind of stuff. That isn't of God trying to destroy and ruin everybody's life. But look at the group that's doing it. Look at the people that are doing it. I am not justifying somebody doing something bad. You know, if somebody rapes somebody or something, it's horrible. But what I'm saying is that, you know, people are coming out, praise God, hallelujah, ain't going to get too political, but people try to pull things out from 30 years ago that somebody supposedly did in high school and may or may not. Yeah, I'm just saying right here, you know, listen, what are we holding on to? Is there anybody in here that didn't do something bad 30 years ago? Come on now. I'm going to tell you what, if you look at me 30 years ago, you probably, I don't know, you probably wouldn't want to sit here right now. If you looked at me 20 years ago, you probably wouldn't want to be sitting here right now. I dare say that most of us are probably in that position. Praise the Lord. You know, my point is that I've seen this all throughout the news. I've seen it throughout, every area, everywhere you go. It's like people are dragging, and it's like, what, you have no skeletons in your closet? Isn't that funny? I mean, we saw this a couple years ago. I'm not going to get into the names or whatever, but it was a certain congressman that was hammering everybody else, or a congressman or some kind of representative, government representative, and he was on that side of the people who just like to tear people apart, right? And he was hammering on these particular individuals. And then all of a sudden, guess what? Something came out about him. Oh, wouldn't you know, something came out about him. And then if, you see what I'm saying? I'm not saying, okay, obviously, and there's certain things that people do that do disqualify them. There's certain things I could do that would disqualify me. But you understand that we have to be careful about what we're tearing apart. That's free, no charge. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Okay, so we see this again here in verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God. And then verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, because our fight is not against flesh and blood. You want to have the armor of God because your fight is not about flesh and blood. When somebody is wronging you, when they're being bad towards you, praise the Lord, that's not flesh and blood. You understand that. The reason they're doing it a lot of times is because they're acting according to a devil. Amen. I'm not getting very far, am I? Very fast. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Now look at this. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, I always thought, and when I got into the study today, I really got it figured out. The Spirit showed me. I didn't get it figured out on my own accord. But I always thought here, there's several things, several pieces of armor named. And it talks about covering certain areas. And I just thought, there's got to be a reason that God said it this way. He didn't just tell us truth to tell us about truth and then about the girding your waist with truth if it didn't mean something. But I think a lot of times we just kind of read over it and don't think about that. But I got into a little bit of study here. You know, the word truth is the reality of a thing. Amen? What is really true? This could be answered by saying, let's be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves. That's the way it could be, the answer. What is truth? Could be, let's be honest. Let's really look at this. Not the truth of the word. It's not the truth of the word. It's lowercase. It's not the truth of the word. That's not what it's talking about. What is true? What is the actual truth of the situation? You can blow anything up. You know, you actually do see this in politics a lot. You see somebody taking one thing that somebody says, twisting it, and saying all these other things. It's like, that's not what they meant. We all know that's not what they meant, but come on now. You know what I mean? Both sides do it, so I'm not getting political. But you know what I mean? But it's annoying if you watch the news how much people do that. What is the actual truth? What's really true here? Is, okay, somebody may have screwed up something in their life, but the truth is they're not living that way now. They're not doing those things now. You know what I mean? That's the truth. Or something, you know, something isn't exactly great, but it's not horrible. You know what I mean? Like, you could do worse things in life, kind of thing. So it's the truth. Amen? And I love that it says the waist, because when you understand what the waist is, let's see if the, we're going to explain the waist here. Look at Philippians 3:18 and 19. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I have them right here. It says, for many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that there are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. Look at this. Whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Okay? Whose God is in their belly. That's what the Lord spoke to me as I was reading this. He reminded me of that scripture, whose God is in their belly. People will, what that belly means, what the word God is in their belly, is that people who are led by their, just their desires. You know, I want this, so I got to go have it. So I'm going to make everything in life. Doesn't matter. Like, I've had people come to me for counseling. I've counseled them. They turn around and do the other thing, the thing that I told them not to do, and they do it because that's what they wanted. They wanted it, so they were going to have it. That their God is their belly. Do you understand? So here when we see in the scripture where it says, you know, you're protecting your waist, which is your belly. That's your belly area with truth. Let's be honest about this. Is this really what you want? Do you really want the end of this thing? Is this thing really going to help you? Is this really promoting God? Is this the truth? What is actually true? Is this really for your family or is it for you? Is this really for the church or is it for you? Your God is your belly. Does it make you feel good? So, you know, a lot of people say, well, it made me feel good, so I know it was right. Charles Manson did a lot of things that he thought felt good. But they weren't right. You understand? You can't be led by your belly. You can't be led in the sense of you can't be led by your desires. So many people, I love him or her, so I'm going to, so it must be right. So I'm going to go after this. People on all kinds of things. This car, oh, I really like this car, so this has got to be right. Now listen, I'm not saying God don't want you to have a nice car. He doesn't want you to have a nice car. He wants you to have a nice house too, and you should. But you got to discern between the two. You don't just go out and take the first thing. We've done that too many times and gotten burned as a result. We don't do that anymore. We try not to anyways. We don't want it just because we want it. We want it because it's right. Amen? Because just because you want it will not satisfy you. You will always go hungry. And that's why people who follow their flesh, I want this relationship now. Is it of God or is it not? Does it promote your relationship with God? If it doesn't, it's the wrong relationship. Just telling you the truth. A right relationship does not, God will not send you a relationship that draws you further away from him. He will not do that. He will not do that. He will not draw, he will not send you a relationship that makes it harder for you to be godly. He won't do it. God ain't doing it. I'm just telling you. But see, people want what they want, and they'll follow that, and that becomes, see, the principle there is people will follow whatever their stomach tells them, that whatever, you know, like my stomach tells me eat 4 pieces of cake. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of the idea behind it all. You know what I mean? And so that's why if you continually eat 4 pieces of cake, that's why you become 400 pounds. Because if that's the way you live, according to your belly, it's going to show up in your flesh. Amen? God wants us to live life. Amen? A good life. Life he intended. Praise the Lord. This is a scripture I was talking about earlier. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Real quick, just look at it. Test all things, hold fast what is good. Test all things, hold fast what is good. In other words, you could say hold fast what is true. What's worthy? What's what you understand? So isn't that interesting? Do you see how that connection, I believe the Lord made that connection. I don't think that it's any stretch of the imagination at all. Praise the Lord. Verse 15. We're back to Ephesians 6:15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I have that word of in my Bible circle, then I put the word by. Because you could also say that, you could interchange it, and it's not wrong, but I'll help you understand it just a little bit better. But the preparation by the gospel of peace. Amen? Praise the Lord. Your feet take you where you go. You are prepared by the word. See, preparation is, you know, it's be prepared. It's preparing for what's to come. Amen? And so if you follow the Spirit as he leads by the Word, or the Word as it's led by the Spirit, either way you want to look at it, you'll always go in the right direction. You will always go to that place where you need to go, that place of blessing, that place of increase, that place of healing, that place of whatever you want there. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet, again, represent where you go, where you take. You know, obviously, it's not just your, you know, like I went to the supermarket today, but, you know, in life, where you're going in life, your feet will take you through life. You know, what direction, where do I need to serve? To tell you the truth, I was just in Tulsa. I wasn't planning on going to Tulsa. It was the least, last thing in my mind. But when I was in Gatlinburg, I felt the Spirit was directing me to go to Tulsa. And when I got to Tulsa, I was right. I'm just saying, I got what I needed to get when I was there. You know, these things, you know, we have to understand this. Sometimes you will be led to do something that you weren't, maybe bless somebody that you weren't planning on. Maybe bless somebody you don't like. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. But the Lord has reason for it. Actually, Reverend Greer gave some awesome stories. I can't get into them now, but of that happening to him when he was in prison. Guy was stealing from him, the Lord led him to bless him, and it ended up God using it later on to protect him and some others. Amen. Praise the Lord. So as we are led, you know, I want to, again, I'll reference another scripture. Write it down, look at it later, but Psalm 37:23, it's a wonderful scripture. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. You can tell if it's a good if you're a good man or woman because your steps are ordered of the Lord. In other words, God isn't ordering your steps for things not to work out. He orders your steps so it always does work out. You know, the Bible tells us in John 16, it tells us that the Holy Spirit's one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to show us things to come. If God is ordering your steps through the Holy Spirit, he is showing you things to come. He will show you the trouble that's coming. He will prepare you for what's coming down the pike. He'll prepare you what's trying to knock you off. He's going to prepare you for the things. Listen, as a pastor, I don't do this enough because I would see more if I did. Amen? But I'm working at it. You know what I mean? I'm always shooting for a higher level, higher level. We're not going to be perfect, but our goal is to be. Our goal is to reach perfection. We don't say, just because we're human, we don't say. A lot of people use that as an excuse not to be perfect. Listen, that's the wrong attitude right there. That's the wrong thinking. You know, I am shooting for perfection. I won't reach it while I'm here on earth. I don't believe that I will fully. Amen? but I can get pretty close to follow. I can follow the plan of God. You can actually follow the plan of God perfectly. I can tell you that. And in that will always cover you, so you'll always work out. It'll always work out. Amen? Praise God. Glory to God. God is for us. He wants to help us. He is not trying to hinder us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 16, above all, everybody say above all. This is why we teach faith. This is why we hammer faith. This is why we preach faith and teach faith and scream faith and do all kinds of things with faith. Because faith, above all, we need this. Amen? Above all, praise the Lord, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Amen. What does a shield do? It protects. It kind of protects the whole body, right? You see those, and if you ever seen the movies or whatever, they pick up the big shield and they get down, crouch down behind it. Why? They're protecting themselves from the onslaught. And what we're protecting ourselves from is all the fiery darts of the devil. Now, if you do a study, the fiery darts of the wicked one, the fiery darts of the devil, they are thoughts. They're always thoughts. One scripture says it casts down imaginations. That's the same thing. That exalt themselves above Christ. The thoughts are the things the devil uses, and he does it by this. The word is preached. Pastor preaches about healing. Tells you about how God wants you healed. And then the thought comes. Well, what if this doesn't apply to me? What if I won't see it? What if I'm not going to be healed this time? What if? Where do you think those thoughts come from? God ain't sending you thoughts of doubt. No, absolutely not. We've had people say to us before, and I've said it before too. We talk about tithing. People say, how can I tithe? I can't even pay my bills. Bible doesn't say to concern yourself with all that. It says that he'll take care of it if you're faithful. That's why we teach people that. You know how hard it is to teach people that, to have nothing? Yeah, I'm just going to tell you the truth. It's not easy because if a single mother who barely makes anything, if her tithe is $5, $10 a week or something like that, it's not going to change anything in the church in the sense of that's not paying our bills. That's not paying some salary to me. That's not putting gold and silver on me. I mean, it won't even buy, $10 tithe wouldn't even buy an ounce of silver. You understand what I'm saying? I don't teach it because I'm trying to soak money out of people. I teach it because somebody taught it to us when we were in that place of $10 was what our tithe was, and it was everything that we had. Amen. I remember actually one of the earliest tithes was $20 was what my tithe was. $20. Praise God. Hallelujah. What's that? Hers was less. Well, how do we tithe and give so much more now? Because we follow the word of God. We don't teach these things. But see, the fiery darts will come and they'll say, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't follow the word. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is a big one. People fight that all the time. Oh, it's weird. I don't know about this. I don't know if I can go that far. Did you fight it? I fought it. Praise the Lord. We all fight it. Why? Because the devil doesn't want you to get what's going to help you. Yeah. But people still think they can go without it. Yeah. You sit there and you preach about holiness. You preach about things like not drinking. There'll still be people that will justify it. And then they'll go out and do it. Yeah. Fiery darts. They're accepting them. You're not putting up your shield of faith. The faith says that whatever the word says, I can do, and therefore I'll be okay on the other side. And so that's going to help me. Amen. But notice, above all, we are to use that shield of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. We've been recently in this verse several times in services, but I thought it good to bring it again. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Notice what part of the good fight of faith is confessing the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I have listened to Christians. I've listened to Christians in my church. Talk to other people. La 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 la. I'm so sick. I'm so poor. I'm so this. I'm so that. You aren't fighting the good fight of faith. You're fighting the good fight of doubt. You are building your life around doubt. And if that's the way you speak, then that's what you're going to have. I actually love what Reverend Greer said. He said, what you have now is what you've been saying. Because the Spirit of the Lord said it to him. What you have now is what you've been saying. So look at what you have now, and that's what you've been saying. And I dare say that you can look into most of our lives, and you can look at the issues that we face, and it probably has something to do with what we are saying. Amen. I catch myself all the time saying things that I know I shouldn't say, but I've been saying it anyways. Listen, I'm not just preaching to you. This message is for me too. We have to be encouraged. We have to continue to listen. We have to be talked about this stuff. Because especially when there are things that run in families. Did you know that? I'm not just talking about sicknesses and diseases. I'm talking about things that run into families. There's negative trends that run into families. Yeah. Look around you. Look at your brothers and sisters. Look at your aunts and uncles. Look at your you know, whatever. Look at your nieces and nephews. Look at your brothers, your kids. Look at the things that everybody talks about. You notice that? There's always those kind of quirks or whatever that everybody, you know what they are. Yeah. That's the issue, and that's one of the areas you need to work on. Yeah. Listen, we all have them. Yeah. When I say all, I mean 100% of every human that ever lived has issues in their families. Glory to God. Yeah. We do. Yeah. Why? Because we're human, we're imperfect. Yeah. We're not perfect. Yeah. And without the scripture, we are very imperfect. Yeah. In fact, people who don't abide and live in this scripture, they are very extremely imperfect, and that's why we have so much of the world that we have. I was recently looking at a Facebook post. I don't even have Facebook anymore. I was looking through my wife's. Somebody was a distant relative of mine, and I was looking at what they were saying, and I was like, dear Jesus. Like, at one point they're talking about God, and then every other time, every other post is like complaining about this or complaining about this, you know, griping about this and griping about this. Well, listen. If all you're going to do is gripe, the Bible says don't live in strife. That's what strife is griping all the time. You don't sit there and gripe. If you're griping all the time, you're not living in peace. You can't live in peace. You will never have the peace of God in any area of your life because what you do is gripe. Listen, God has not called us to gripe. He has not called us to strife. He has called us to freedom. Amen? Liberty in Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What does the enemy throw at you? Whatever comes up. Whatever trial you face in life, it ain't God, it's of the enemy. See, first thing we do is we try to get Christians to actually believe that. Because a lot of Christians are just thinking God's giving them everything. Well, God give me this, God give me this. You'll be a product of what you're taught. I'm just telling you the truth. Listen, I can't, like, you can ask me to pray, like, I can pray for other Christians. We get asked this all the time, to pray for other Christians. But they'll be a product of what they'll taught. They'll have in their life what they're taught. If they're in a church that teaches about that God puts sickness on you or that doesn't teach healing, I can't get them healed. Not unless they come sit here for a while. I can't do it. God can't heal them. Why? Because they're being taught wrong. You can't have what you're not taught. The Bible's clear about this. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people, God said, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And it has nothing to do with God's will or God's knowledge. God is not willing that any should perish. None. He is not willing that any man, woman, or child perishes. But people will have what they're taught. You can't change that. Praise the Lord. You know, I've heard it said like this, what you sow, you grow. Then we talk about, how many times do we talk about the fruit, the fruits that God has told us about, fruit, seed, time, and harvest. When we plant, whatever we plant, whatever we cultivate, that's what we're going to have. If you plant thorns and thistles, you will only grow thorns and thistles. God can't change it. I said God can't change it. He can't change it. He can't change it because he can't lie. He can't go against his word. And he said, whatever you sow, you reap. God said that. If you plant bad things, you're going to get bad things. Now, I can pray for mercy on people. We can come on behalf of people, but we have to get them the truth. Why do I say this? Because Jesus, in his own hometown, could do no mighty work until he taught people. He went around, the Bible says that he couldn't do any mighty work because they didn't believe, so he had to teach. And the reason that he went about teaching was so people would get the word and get the truth so they wouldn't be destroyed. Yeah. It's so clear in scripture, and I just laid it out, but people still don't believe it. Yeah. They would rather hold their religion. Yeah. They would rather keep those things that aren't true. Yeah. We are to hold to what's true. Yeah. They're gods in their belly. What you want to be, what's palatable to you? See, it isn't palatable to teach people that God can't. There are people who don't like to hear that. Because God, we're all taught God is all sovereign. Yes, God is sovereign in heaven, but God is not sovereign on the earth. He purposely gave that control over to us. The Bible tells us this. I tell you that all the time. We've showed you scriptures of how God isn't changing the plan 2,000 years into it because we don't like what it says. He isn't changing it because we don't like what we hear. He isn't changing it because, you know, the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church have been teaching this for the last couple hundred years. I don't care what they've been teaching. It isn't true if it isn't true. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be the Baptist or the Catholic. It could be the Pentecostals. They've taught a bunch of garbage that isn't true, too. And we're Pentecostal. Hallelujah, in case you didn't know. That's kind of the flow we're in. But they teach untruths. If you teach untruths, you will have untruth. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Praise God. Hallelujah. What does the enemy throw at you? Faith keeps it off. Verse 17. I know I've eaten up a bunch of time, but hey, this is Tuesday night. We can handle it, right? Praise the Lord. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the helmet of salvation, that is a very important thing as well. A helmet protects what? Your head. What's in your head? Your mind. That's what God wants to protect, right? He wants to protect those thoughts. He wants to protect the way you think. Because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Praise the Lord. As a man thinks, protecting a head. You got to protect the head. You got to protect what you hear. You got to protect what you say. See, that's why it's bad. Christians don't realize this, but some Christians, they jump from spiritual bed to spiritual bed to spiritual bed. They go to this church, they go to that church, they watch this televangelist, they watch this televangelist, they read this book by this guy and this book by this guy. You got to be careful about all that garbage. I've watched people get off. I could name you a name right now, somebody who went through, like, was serving in the church, was sold out to Pastor Tim. Sold out to Pastor Tim. I mean, called him dad, praise the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Could do no wrong in their eyes. Went through MTC, got all the ministry training and everything, and was warned about all this stuff, but couldn't stop dabbling in other camps. And the other camps were wrong. Was warned about it, but still wanted to dabble in it. So he was dabbling in it, and guess what happened? Sooner or later, wasn't long, all of a sudden he's saying, well, this isn't true anymore. I actually heard this person say that Jeremiah 29:11 does not apply to Christians. Wow. Yeah. Even though the Bible tells us that the whole Bible applies to us, but never mind that doesn't apply to Christians. This person actually started believing that God wants you to go through trial and distress and pain in life, wants you to be destroyed and defeated, because that's part of his sovereign plan. Wow. Just took the Word of God, got all these years of the Word of God and threw it all out. Why? Because they didn't protect their mind. They didn't protect what was going in. It's telling you the truth. And don't worry, they won't watch this service anyway, so or listen to it. Praise the Lord. We're still in verse 17. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Praise the Lord. This is a person who is meditating on the right things, and that's in context. That's what it's at. I've given many of you those scriptures before, but that's exactly what it is. When you meditate on the right things, listen. Meditate on the right things. What are you thinking about? What are you talking about? Meditating is speaking and thinking. It's what you're constantly dwelling on. Amen? Are you dwelling on the problem? Are you focusing on the problem? I know it's easy to, but we need to not. We need to start redirecting to God, and that's what praise is for. Because praise starts taking us when we say, okay, I don't feel good. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And then it starts building and building and building. That's how you get through. Yeah. It doesn't feel like it, but you don't need to feel like it. Yeah. You just need to do it, and then it'll work. And I've seen it happen. Praise raised me out of the sick bed. It's raised my daughter up out of the sick bed. Praise the Lord. See, it marries others. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise. That's why I say praise the Lord all the time. Amen. Just get used to it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Romans 8:24-25. Look at these real quick. It says, "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." What is hope for? It is for your mind. Hope is the thing that keeps us holding on to the end. When all hell is breaking loose in your life, hope is what says the other side is there. Jesus promised I'll get there. I'm going to get there. It's going to be blessed. It's going to be good. I'm going to be full. I'm going to be happy. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. That's what the helmet of salvation does. Yeah. It protects your thinking, your stinking thinking. Amen? Keeps you from that. Amen? Okay, praise the Lord. Verse 18, and this is important. Praying always with all prayer. Everybody say all prayer.
All prayer.
And supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is not getting on your hands and knees and going, "Dear Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for my mother. Thank you for my father. Thank you for my brother. Thank you for my sister. Thank you for my spouse. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for all you do." That's great. You should do that stuff. That is not praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is getting down on your knees or standing or driving your truck and blah, 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 blah. I just kind of did it like that. I mean, that's not my actual tongue. But it's praying in the Spirit. It's what the Bible says is praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. If you don't do that, you're leaving part of it out. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praying in the Spirit, being watchful. And that's what it says. That's so important there. When you're praying in the Spirit, you are being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. How do you watch? How do you know what's going on? By praying in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Being watchful, praying in the Spirit. You see the connection?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. See how the Bible does this? There is lots of these connections that make it very clear. You'd be a fool to sit there and argue with it afterwards. Now listen, I understand how sometimes it challenges us. It does today. Man, I had a phone conversation today real quick with somebody. And it afterwards, I knew I had to call back. And make it right. Make the conversation right, because the conversation wasn't exactly right. We'll just say that. I didn't want to call back. Everything in my flesh said no. But I needed to. And finally, I just said, after fighting with myself long enough, I just said to the Lord, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. I just don't care. I'll just do it. Because I'm just tired of fighting with myself. You know what I mean? When you don't have peace in your head. Like, how am I going to preach a message tonight if I don't have peace in my head? That's exactly what I was thinking. So I'm just going to make it right. Praise the Lord. See, maybe you all need to preach too, because you just get some things right. I'm just telling you the truth, because when you know you got to stand before people, I know I need God to do this. If I don't got God doing this, then I ain't going to do it. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Man. Well, I'm not going to go there. We're just going to close here. We've heard enough about praying in the Spirit. We know that we need to do it. My wife preached about it. I'm going to close with Colossians 3:9. Just go ahead and look at it up here. Write it down if you like. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. What have we done? We've put off the old man. Put it off. When you put it off, you don't want to pick it back up, right? And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Renewed in knowledge. We need to be renewed in knowledge. Yeah. Knowledge, the Bible tells us knowledge is the principal thing. I think it's Proverbs 4:7. I'm pretty sure. Knowledge is a principal thing. Therefore, in all you're getting, get understanding, the Bible says. In all you're getting, get understanding, get knowledge, get wisdom. That's what we need. We don't want to do things just because we always did them that way. We want to do things because it's right, because it's true, because it's what God wants. And when we do, we'll be blessed. Amen?